a lot of people live in denial because they think that to be realistic is to be depressing.
I'm Dr. Mike, host of Going There.
It was the first song where I wrote about how I felt like my depression was killing me and I didn't want it.
Going There breaks the stigma of mental health issues by having real, honest conversations with your favorite musicians, including Alessia Cara, Lizzie Hale, Jewel, Jason Isbell, Gerard Way, Lauren Gray, Shamir, and Barty Strange.
There was something there that was so raw, where I was like, wow, I can't believe someone would say that.
Let's go there on Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network, every other Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. With me is Lord Taco. You'll notice that Brad is not here. Hasn't been for a while. Have we kicked him out of the club? Do we want to kick him out of? Are we taking a vote? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, is
anybody
this the
care?
Vote? Oh, I don't know if anyone cares.
Does anybody notice? No, Brad is, as we've said many times, moved to New York, and it's caused a little bit of some scheduling issues. But you know, we'll make it work. We have plenty to talk about today and in the coming episodes. Right. I mean, there's a lot that's
Correct.
Happened in the last.
There's a lot that's happened. Then there's a lot that's happened here in town in Chattanooga.
Yeah, that I
which,
think
you know, that's
to,
where you and I live.
Right. That I think relates to festivals in general. And that's why we want to go ahead and put an episode out this week and kind of tease what's coming. I think. Right. Isn't that where we
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what we've got to come out here.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. We'll get into it a little bit, but Lord Taco and I, along with Brian Stone, friend of the show, we've made fun of Brian for 6 years, right? He's our favorite foil, I guess.
Yes.
But he was with us. He was with you and I this weekend. We did some interviews. We interviewed, first of all, the Moon River Festival was in Chattanooga this weekend, which is why we're sort of ramping things back up. You and I and Brian spent some time with Matt Carney on Saturday and also Wild Rivers.
That's right.
Enjoyed talking to all of them. Devin, yeah. Andrew, and Khaled from Wild Rivers, and Matt just prior had a great time down there Saturday, despite the misty rain and the wet conditions. And we were lined up to talk to Band of Horses with Ben and Wildorado.
Yes. Wildorado and Sammy Ray.
Sammy Ray. We were so excited about our Sunday lineup. And you were already there. I think you said you were, what, two songs into Sammy Ray when the whistle blew?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I got there, you know, it kicked off around 12:30. I saw Maggie Rose. I walked over and saw some of Abraham Alexander with Lindsay, and then came back for Sammy Ray. She just got started, played three or four songs, and then made the announcement that she had to stop and we had to leave because there was lightning and thunderstorms in the area. And so this was around 2:15. Two-ish when they made the call, and that's when I texted you, and you were just getting dropped off almost.
I was literally pulling into the Uber drop-off line, my daughter and son-in-law, and if I'd have gone another 15 feet, I would have been abandoned, and you sent me the note that they were clearing the place out because of thunderstorms, and that's going to be a big topic of a couple of more episodes for us, because I think what the folks with Live Nation and C3 and AC Entertainment and the city of Chattanooga and Memorial Auditorium, the Tivoli Foundation, how they reacted to what happened on Sunday is, it might be one of the great stories in music festival lore, at least for this year, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and if you organize a festival or want to, this is something to study as far as how to handle
this is how you do
a weather event. This is how you do it.
Yeah, we have on this show been critical of the last 2 or 3, 4 years, and I won't get too much into it, but Russ and I had a conversation with some of the folks involved, and I had some off the camera conversations, and this is just how you do it. I'll just go ahead and say it. Lessons were learned over the last 3 or 4 years, and they did it right. They did some amazing things, but
they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, they really did. They handled it right. And, to be fair, it's a smaller festival. It's not 80,000 or even 40,000 people, but still.
No, it's what? It was about 10,000?
About 10. Right? Probably got close, and,
it's two stages.
Yeah. But they had a tough, tough, tough decision. You know, the Bonnaroo last year was an easy call once the call had to be made, because they were literally 6 foot, or not 6 foot, but 6 inches, 12 inches in water. Right. This was one of those that it lightning, and then it looked like blue skies, and then it got cloudy, and then it rained, and you're thinking, we can play, it's classic, we can finish this golf match, just keep
right
whatever.
And to be clear, it wasn't just rain, it was lightning and thunder, which was the main concern initially.
That's right.
And it wasn't just like one storm, there was several around that kept poking their heads out, so it was kind of hard to really get a handle on it.
A lot of factors. How do you get everybody back in? And we'll get into all of that in detail. We have Drew Holcomb, the co-founder of the event, and Ted Heinig with AC Entertainment. We're gracious enough to get on the phone with Russ and I, and we're going to have that. And then we're going to talk to some of the folks at the local Tivoli and Memorial Auditorium, which managed to put together a pretty cool event. So we'll get into all that. But we wanted to jump back in. We're ready. We've got lots to talk about. I think today you and I, Russ, we're going to go ahead and run the Matt Carney interview, right?
Let's get that going today. And then we've got more on the way, several more interviews and stuff to talk about. So that
you mentioned
too. But yeah.
I wanted to go ahead. You mentioned Lindsay. Go ahead and tell everybody who Lindsay is, because we ran into several Bonnaroo people.
We always run into family, Bonnaroo fam, when we do stuff like this. But yeah, Lindsay was awarded Bonnaroo Venue of the Year earlier, if you watched that episode. And he's the one in Winchester with the 12-ish acres of farm that he hosts the mini roos that we've had. Right. Kind of after Bonnaroo got canceled, he was gracious enough to host a few of us out there to come out and camp and have a good time. So, in the absence of 2 years of no Bonnaroos, we've kind of become friends and just hung out and talked a lot. So he came to Moon River this year as a vendor. He signed up to work the beer tent in VIP, which he did last year. So he came up for that, and when the word came out that we had to evacuate, he and I met up and went to the gas station, bought some beer, and then just sat in the parking garage next across the street, sat on his tailgate, and just sat there and had a couple beers and hung out, played some music, and it was honestly fun. I mean, because what else are you gonna do?
I was gonna say, Brad, if he were here, Brad has always said, as long as I've known you and Brad, that Taco is the easiest get-along guy ever. It's like, what do you want to do? I'm in. Whatever. So I was actually telling my daughter and son-in-law, you know, Taco's in a parking lot drinking a beer. He's having a good time. And yeah. You know, when you said Lindsay's there, I'm like, yeah, he's having a good time. Oh, yeah. I mean,
we weren't suffering, that's for sure. We made the best of it. And, you know, at this time, of course, he had an inside track with the people, right, with the vendors. So he was communicating with them. And everybody seemed to believe that, well, in a couple hours or, right, so, this is going to open back up. So we just thought, let's just hang tight, let the storm pass, relax, and then we'll jump back in and hopefully see a few more shows. Right. And the word was about 6 or 6:30, we can go back in. Well, 6:30 came along. Lindsay went ahead and went on in because he said, well, if they're going to, I probably should help out and set up, because if they're going to reopen, you know, we'll need to go back to work. And then he sent me a text a few minutes later and he said, no, this thing is not happening. Right. I'm packing up. And, right, so I think that's when I texted you guys. And then I met Brian again and told him, yeah, I don't think it's happening. So, yeah. And then a few minutes later, that's when the official word came out that it's not opening back up.
And so that was on Sunday.
That was Sunday. And I could see, I mean, there was a lot of people around the entrance just waiting, thinking they're going to get in. So,
yeah, I'm sure we've all been at baseball games where it's a rain delay and you know, you're looking at the sky and there's a lot of factors, and we get into that with Ted and Drew, and we'll talk to Nick again, but that was Sunday. But let's go back a little bit to Saturday. So you and I, okay, both got there about what, 1 o'clock?
Yep.
I had a good time. We did those two interviews and hung out. We talked to Matt. Great festival.
Mm-hmm. We caught Briston Maroney's show there. He was great, as always.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show, three-timer.
Friend of the show. Mm-hmm. who else? I think I saw Natalie Hemby.
Natalie Hemby was there.
Yeah. Drew Holcomb, of course, played Saturday.
Yeah, we watched Drew and Ellie do three-legged races because it was their son's fourth birthday. Yeah. you'll hear that during the Wild Rivers interview. But yeah, it's a neat festival. It's a, you know, I don't want to get too much into it because, you know, if you were there, you were there. But it's a boutique festival, which means, yes, it's in that 10 to 12,000. Ticketed, you know, admission. Very curated. You know, it's singer songwriters. Yeah,
great location. I don't think they officially sold out.
No, but they did not.
It sure seemed full. I mean, it sure seemed like a packed crowd.
Yeah, I'm going to say somewhere between 9,000 and 10,000. It seemed every bit as full as previous years when it was 12. But I don't know how much of that was because there was standing water. You know, and the crowd wasn't able to, you know, maybe be shoulder to shoulder, but it's a neat, right, it's a downtown festival. It's right on the river. You walk in, you bike in, you Uber in, that sort of thing. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very accessible being right downtown. And yeah, a lot of people will come in just for the day. That's what Daniel and Charlotte did.
Right.
Come in for the weekend. You could, you know, get a hotel, rent an Airbnb, because it's not camping.
No. I mean, you might, yeah. But no, it's, for the most part, if you're from out of town, you get a hotel downtown and you walk in. I mean, that's part of the allure of it, really. And part of what made Sunday difficult. So again, we'll get back into that later. Yes. That's the pluses and the minuses. But,
I would say that every bar and restaurant and shop on the North Shore that Sunday probably had a good day, whether they wanted to or not.
Yeah, whether they were
suddenly
prepared.
You've got 10,000 people that are just out and are looking for something to do. So, every little spot was packed and crowded because people just weren't ready to go home, because we all thought, well, this is going to open back up, so we'll just hang out for a few hours. Very interesting.
And like I said, Brian Stone was kind enough to help us with our shows, and we're going to have him on, I hope, in a episode very soon, because I want to hear what he had to say about Saturday and Sunday, because I think he went to the event Sunday night, as you said. So
he did.
Again, there's a lot. I don't mean to short sell today's episode, but there's really a lot that happened on Sunday that I think is relevant to this podcast and the industry, really. As Russ said, how they handled it is a, you know, should be a roadmap for how you should handle these kinds of things.
And this is right up our alley. I mean, this is what we kind of started the podcast to talk about.
Exactly. But let's go ahead and do this one. I don't know about you, Matt. I knew a little bit about Matt before Saturday, but after talking with him, cool guy. I loved his show. I really liked the Paul Simon.
Yeah,
cover.
Great show. Yeah, and that struck me because in the interview you'll hear him say, you know, I think you kind of asked, well, I guess you started out playing covers, and he said, no, I'm not good at covers. I don't know how. I just don't like it. And then to follow that up with, we go to his show and he does a great cover of Paul Simon,
a fairly well known cover, dancing band members and everything, right? I mean, choreography.
It was great.
Yeah. And I know he endeared himself to you because he's a VW guy.
Apparently so. He saw my VW logo on the shirt and, you know, asked about that. So we started talking and then, come to find out we've all had several Volkswagens.
Yeah, all of our first cars basically were. I had a fastback. You had a, what was it?
I had a notchback, and then he said he had the squareback.
Yeah, and that was funny. So you never know. But he was great. He's a Eugene, Oregon guy, so the rainy Saturday he was into.
He loved the weather.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was great. Only thing that I did hear is that he started his show a little bit early, maybe. I think he kicked off before, was it Natalie? I think before Natalie ended, I think he sort of started.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Whatever.
Natalie was concluding at 3:30, and he was supposed to start at 3:30. Yeah, so did he?
I had a couple of fans say, "Why did he start before she was done?" But anyway, now we're just picking on stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was great. Anything else you wanted to mention to talk about this past weekend? Like I said, we have so much to unpack.
There's a lot. Overall, it turned into a great weekend.
Isn't it funny? You know, I talked to Brian Stone Saturday morning. I had to go pick up some recording equipment, and it was, you know, the weather was iffy. And I think I told him, this is either going to be the worst day ever or a great day. And he said, it's going to be a good day. And it was a great day.
It was.
Sunday was
looking. Even for Brian.
Yeah, I know. Something's happened to that boy. I don't know. I don't know who's gotten a hold of him. Because even on Sunday, he was like, man, I'm so excited to do these interviews. And then we got rained out.
He was upset that we had our interviews scrapped. But, he still ended up having a good time. He came and hung out with us in the parking garage for a little bit before we went in.
Wow. Well, had I, you know, if I gotten there 5 minutes earlier, that's probably what I would have been doing. But
Lindsay even offered him, I think he had a sour, and he offered it to Brian. He said, you want a beer? He said, oh, what kind is that? I'll probably hate it. And he said, oh, give it to me anyways. And he opened it up and drank it, and he thought, I don't hate that. So I don't know what's gotten into him.
Something is bad, bad, bad wrong.
Yeah. The curmudgeon is softening up a little bit.
Definitely. But again, the reason we, you know, Brad's not here is we just have so much information that we need to get to in the next couple of weeks. And we just felt like we needed to go ahead and get started.
We did. And he will join us. He'll be back in the coming episodes.
Absolutely. I hope he'll be back next week. It's nothing other than just scheduling. He's got a lot going on and going to a bunch of shows.
Yeah, to his credit, I mean, he's having a great time in New York. His new job is going really well. And
we should probably mention, because people have probably seen it on Facebook, his new best friend.
His new BFF, Bill.
What's his name? Bill Murray? Is that his name?
Bill Murray, I think, is
an actor. An actor?
Yeah, it's like an older guy. I don't know.
He'd been in a few things. You might have heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were hanging out this past weekend. So Brad is very busy and can't wait to get back and talking to him and talking about. I really want to have him, and he will join us to talk about Sunday. Again, I keep teasing that.
Yeah.
But, again, what C3 and Live Nation and AC Entertainment and Drew Holcomb with Moon River, what they did, it was pretty cool. It was very, very cool. And they made a whole lot of people very happy after a bad situation. So hopefully it'll be a blueprint.
I think so, and I think that could be the difference between somebody saying, I'm never coming back to Chattanooga versus I'll be back next year, you know, because of how they handled it.
Sure, yeah. So we'll leave it there. We'll get to it next week. But anything else, Taco, before we listen to Matt Carney?
Yeah, let's go to Matt Carney.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
I've known Drew for a long time, who started it and have begged, borrowed, and stealed to try to get on here. So this is my lucky year. I'm really excited. This is like really, really beautiful.
I was going to ask if you knew Drew. One of the things that I've been fortunate to talk to him over the years since he brought this here to Chattanooga from Memphis, he always seems to book people he likes, friends of his.
It seems like that. Yeah, he's good at creating like a family kind of. Yeah, it does feel like I know a lot of the bands. I've written with some of the artists. I've hung out with them. We've talked about doing tours together. So that is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, it is like it does feel like everyone's connected, which nice. I think people feel that, you know, when they come and the people are fans of each other and they've. Artists have toured together.
I think people
feel that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the goal when you're like going on tour. You can just take out an opener sometimes, and it's like, okay, this works. And it's definitely different than when like there's a relationship, and then the people in the audience can feel that too. You know,
yeah.
Like
I over the years I've interviewed several of the bands at like Winter Jam, and I remember. Some years ago talking to them and they were like, you know what, we just decided we're going to book people we like if we're going to be around them for a long time. You know,
that's the thing.
Yeah,
the longer I do this, yeah, I have really talented musicians in my band, but I also you gotta just like being around people because you spend a lot of your time on the road.
Yeah, those bus rides can be long, right?
Yeah, man. If you got that annoying, just the person's not choosing to fit in with everyone, that doesn't matter how good your licks are, you know.
That's right.
Like, you're like, bro,
that's right, you're 90 minutes or 60 minutes and the rest of the time, yeah. We're angry.
We got 22 hours and 30 minutes we got to spend together outside of that time.
That's
yeah.
Exactly right. I wanted to ask you about your career and your career arc, really. A lot of artists and musicians grow and change and all that, but one of the things I thought was kind of interesting in learning more about you and listening to your music is started out doing covers like I guess a lot of people do, and then sort of it figured out what was working for you, right? I mean, that's...
Well, I want to go with your story, but actually, I literally can't play covers and never have.
Never have?
I don't know.
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Wow. No, no, okay. I like it. I wanted to go there with you. But no, I literally started writing music because I was so bad at covers. I didn't.
Well, that's what I.
There yeah. you go. Yes.
I didn't mean you were making a living at it.
No, okay. But I mean, no, I mean, as in, like, I was an English major in college and didn't start doing music until I was in college, really. And I was always good at writing, and I always knew that I could put words together. It was kind of how I didn't fail high school, was if I had could write a paper, I could get through it. So my roommate had a guitar, and I started, honestly, I just would try to learn whatever Dave Matthews was doing at the time or somebody, and I was like, this is too hard. So I just play a couple chords and say some stuff, you know, like Three Chords and the Truth was like kind of how I started. Yeah.
Three
and
Chords and the Truth.
That, right? You know, yeah. I mean, like, that was the goal, at least. And so to this day, we do a couple covers. We'll maybe do one tonight, but they're hard for me because kind of a one-trick pony.
That is what I read, and I just thought that was interesting for you figure it out. It's kind of like I always find it fascinating how an artist can realize what their talents are. Maybe it's a voice. They have a certain voice. You know, they might want to try to sing like Otis Redding, but can't.
Yeah.
You know, so you go with what you can do, right?
I mean, artists I love, and it's probably because I'm one of them, but I tend to be drawn towards artists that sometimes even have a limited kind of skill set, but they do it really well. You know, like Johnny Cash or Bob Dylan or those would be like, even like, I grew up with a lot of U2 and stuff, like The Edge had his pedals and like, he did his thing, and you wouldn't put him in on any session, but bands like that were like, they kind of do their thing and they just stick to it, and limitations sometimes become really beautiful. And so yes, I would definitely put that in. I am one of those that was like, I had these parameters, I was learning how to sing, I knew I could kind of use spoken word and some like stories, but I couldn't lean on just my chops, and I had to grow those as I've been touring over the years. But yeah, limitations are cool. I think people do interesting things with them.
It's recognizing them and then kind of working with it is where I was going with this sort of thing. Is like I said, I know I've interviewed artists who want to be doing something else, and then they finally figure it out or whatever. In your head, how do you think? Where do you think you are? Did you have that sort of? Here's what I want to do.
Interesting. Like, that is a really interesting question, as in, like, I think contentment is an interesting journey. Also, it maybe speaks to what you're talking about. Like, I do love the chase. Me and my band always talk about this. Steve Gould, he's a super talented drummer. We love to like talk about the shows and analyze them, and we always have like a powwow after the show, and it's like this hunger to kind of, what could we have done better, or what did we do that was awesome, or just we post show always talk about him, and he's like, you just kind of like the hunt, don't you? Like, you don't even like the kill, you like the like journey of like searching for something, and like so that is a very real thing in my own life to a fault. Sometimes you're like always you're never just like, hey, this is great. And I think the more I've done this in my arc, I think I am really, every day I get to do this, I just feel really grateful that I'm doing music. My last job was like, I was a barista at Starbucks, you know, and like, this is pretty good. So I think what I do and trying to do it and being content with it is like made me such a better performer, and I've enjoyed it so much more. I don't even know if that was your question.
To me, it's the difference in the chase, I guess. I always ask an artist, you know, how they feel about their latest album. And it sounds like such a silly, trite kind of question, but
does anyone ever like, oh, I hate it?
It always depends.
I actually really love my last record. My newest one, whatever it is, January Flower, it came out like a year ago, maybe a year and a half. But there is a funny thing where I usually dislike, there's a point when I usually dislike my last record and I dislike a specific record, and it's funny how they always change based on where I'm at. and that's maybe speaks to, I love to kind of do different things. So one record, if one record's one way, I tend to have a knee-jerk reaction to try to do something that's like a little different, just for my own creative curiosity. You know, like I was never doing the same thing, you know. And every time I've tried to kind of chase something before, it's usually never successful. So then I get really frustrated with whatever those moments are where you're like, oh, you're trying to emulate that one song that was really big, and it never works.
Yeah.
So it's always like, whenever you're swinging the other way and like, okay, what are we just doing because we love, are always tend to be the moments that really resonate for a long time.
Yeah.
But it does change all the time. Like
it does. And it's, I've done this enough times that I've interviewed bands multiple times. So one album will be the, you know, overproduced. We're going to spend 12 months doing everything. And then the next one, we're going to go back to our roots and do an acoustic set or a hard rock set or something. So it just changes.
I think you have to have a couple albums under your belt, too, before you can, like, literally admit to yourself as an artist that, like, oh, I missed it on that one. Because we only got like four records. You can't be like...
Right.
A quarter of my career, I was a phony. No. Or like... But I do think when you... The longer you do it, you can look back and be like, those moments weren't as successful. And you can kind of figure out why. Like, oh, maybe I was trying to... Yeah, put on a hat that didn't fit. Or I was trying to listen to the audience too much. Or management or producer had too much power. Or... not enough power, or I wasn't listening to my band enough. I don't know. You know, there is those interesting journeys you have. You look back at your projects and you like learn from them.
That kind of gets to the question I asked a little bit earlier. In your head, how do you think you're, this is what you want that sound to be?
Or I'm really proud of, I think I really... Cool. I don't know how else to do it than, like, if you don't love it, your test market, if your test market is you in the studio or with a guitar, and if you don't love it, you're already starting, like, it's like a dude making an ice cream for an ice cream shop, and he's like, well, I think people like chocolate, strawberry, and you taste it, you're like, I don't really like this, but people will buy it. Like, that's not a good start. You got to be like,
that's fair.
I love this ice cream. Like, you got to be like, yo, you got to taste my ice cream. This is the best ice cream you ever had. And if you don't believe that...
Yeah, you have to believe it.
Yeah, your test market is not... You're already a... Rick Rubin always says, if you don't love it, you're already starting in a deficit. Like, maybe someone else will like it because you're doing something... I don't know. I just try to love it. And if you're a big fan of it, you also kind of can't lose because you're doing something you love.
And last question for me, really. What does weather like this, what does it do to you, dude?
This?
We talk about the Bonnaroo experience.
Yeah.
You're camping. You're committed.
Yeah, oh, you're in.
And the artists seem to know that. You know you've got an audience that wants to be there, that is committed, that is hardcore. Does this, things like days like this, does it sort of impact that at all? Or, I mean...
What do we got? We got some, like, overcast. Definitely overcast.
A little wet.
What is it, 70?
Yeah, heat-wise, 71. It's nice.
71.
Yeah.
I see, now you're talking to a kid. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon.
Good point.
So
excellent point.
This is like, this is a solid 8 months of my year. So I am like, this is actually, I the one thing I like about this is the fatigue of, like, just heat. Like, it's a beatdown for people. Yeah. To be in, we played Hinterland this year, and it was 100. It was the hottest show I've ever played. It was like a heat index of 109. I ran out, and there was like, I made this joke about this tree that was like, there's one tree in the middle of the crowd, and I was like, this is the most coveted tree. This tree has lived its whole life for this. Everyone was in the shade. It was like, it was literally like a refugee boat, like stacked into the shade of this tree.
Yeah.
And I tried to run out there to the tree, and I literally almost passed out, which was a terrible idea. But I don't know. Something about this kind of weather, I find it comforting because I'm used to overcast. And, like, lights look better. Like, you know.
Nice.
There's, like, everybody's kind of chilling. There's, like, a little melancholy to it, which I love. I'm like, we could be here all day. You're
nice.
You could drink. You don't have to, like, drink 64 ounces of water or you'll die kind of deal.
Yeah, we're familiar with that heat. I've seen like the tree where people would sit and line up, and as the shadow moved, they would
they're slowly
moving their way in.
Man. This is beautiful. I mean, it's a little bit of a bummer when you're watching the radar. You're like, I hope it doesn't rain, like pour when we're playing. That's never fun.
Right.
But this feels pleasant. I'm in.
Very cool.
Me too. Yeah, if it stays like this all day, we're going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
Russ, you have any other questions? I've dominated, as I always do.
It's fine. Yeah, I think I'm just looking forward to your set.
Love it. You're a Westfalia? You have a Westfalia van?
I do, yeah.
He's got Russ, a Volkswagen shirt on.
Russ with the bus.
And
I love it.
Yeah, bring it to Bonnaroo.
What year?
1978.
78?
Yeah.
The year I was born.
The year before I was born.
Don't tell anybody.
It's got the bed up.
It's pop-top camper, really cool. The rooftop tent, couch, everything.
My first car was a 68 Squareback. My dad let me buy it. It was like, they kind of look like a station wagon, but they're little.
Wagon. Yeah,
it's like a little tiny station wagon.
Yeah, I had a notchback, which was the sedan.
Oh, yeah, those
version.
Are cool.
Mine was a fastback.
Oh, you had the fastback. We had them all covered.
All three.
We had all Type 3s covered. Yeah. There was one other one, too, I think they did. There was one year where they had another one, I thought, that was a weird one. The fastback was rounded.
Yeah, that was
notchback was like the sedan.
Yes. And they didn't sell those in the U.S. It had to be imported.
Those are the ones that are hard to get.
Mm-hmm. They're real hard.
I was awesome. I drove it. I ran out of oil one day, and we had to. Yeah, it was bad.
Well, ours, we had a driveway that went up a hill, and I don't remember if it was me or my brother didn't know how to do clutch very well, so it got stuck halfway up, and we had to get a neighbor to come.
Love it.
Yeah, we learned. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
Man. Always
yes,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is
forward
fun.
To your set, and it's a pleasure to meet you, and I appreciate you giving us so much time.
Honor to be here.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, there you go. So that was Matt Carney. Like I said, really nice guy, right? I enjoyed talking to him.
I did, too. I would hang out with him all day.
Yeah, I got the feeling that once the microphone's off, he wanted to talk some more VW.
He kind of did, yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy. And it was a really fun show. Like I said, it surprised me. I had listened to some of his music, and I thought it was a little more spoken word, sort of rap-oriented. But it was very much a lot of vocals, and the band was very prominent. And like we said, the Paul Simon Call Me Al was totally unexpected.
It was, and I think his show was one of my highlights of the weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
Very, very happy.
I didn't even ask you that. Yeah. What was your highlight?
I would say him and Briston were up there. Natalie Hemby was also really good. Saturday or Sunday, Sammy Ray, she was really good. For her two songs, and I was excited because I was like, oh, we're about to go, you know, interview her. And then, of course, it got scrapped. So I felt bad for her that her set got cut short. But she was able to go and perform at the memorial that night when they announced the makeup concert. So she got to, I'm sure she had a great time there, too.
I have a feeling, and that's why I think that's why I reached out to you Monday morning and kept pushing. I have a feeling this is going to be one of these events that we're going to talk about for a long, long time. So.
I think so.
And I think those bands, they were all so nice. You know, the ones that we were supposed to talk to on Sunday, they were reaching out and saying, hey, are we still doing this? So I have a feeling, you know, maybe not tomorrow, not next week, but it'll happen. So
at some point. And who knows, some of these people you might see on the Bonnaroo lineup in a year or two. You just
absolutely
never know.
And hopefully they will remember that we tried to talk to them. So
I hope so.
All right, man. Well, thanks. It was great hanging out, and great hanging out today.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And thanks, glad to
everybody.
Be back.
Yeah,
yeah. We've kind of been on a little hiatus, but want to get back into it. We got a lot to talk about. So
I think you're exactly
subscribe
right.
Subscribe if you're not already.
A lot of changes going on. So, yeah, subscribe and hit the like and all that other stuff you're supposed to do.
Please do. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you. Consequence Podcast Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.